In last week's environmental segment, we heard from a member of a Michigan Anglers Association. Tom Baird and others are concerned with a tiny invasive snail recently discovered in the Ausable River near Grayling. Mr. Baird was critical of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources and raised doubts about the Grayling hatchery and its possible role in spreading the New Zealand mud snail. That same day, DNR announced that the Grayling hatchery had been recently inspected and had taken other measures in an effort to stop the spread of the snail. To learn more, we welcome Michigan DNR Executive Director Keith Cray. Keith Cray, thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Mark. Good to be here.
Before we get into some of Mr. Baird's criticism of the agency on this snail issue, let's review the most recent actions DNR has taken. The press release from a week ago says that three Michigan agencies did inspect the Grayling fish hatchery the week before last, that's the week of September 26th. For the record, what did you learn from that inspection?
Yeah, thanks, Mark, and I appreciate the opportunity. So let's just step back just a little bit. So as you know, New Zealand mud snails were confirmed in the Ausable River, and based upon that finding, it was found downstream from the hatchery. So immediately, the agencies, and it was a joint agencies between the Department of Environmental Quality, Department of Natural Resources, and the Department of Ag and Rural Development, we actually visited with the hatchery owner, and we assumed that since it's a flow-through system, that the hatchery could be infested. So we asked the hatchery owner to implement practices and put those in place immediately to help mitigate any movement potential from that. And then very specifically to the inspection we conducted, it was once again conducted by all three agencies because the hatchery is actually, it's licensed by the Department of Ag and Rural Development as an aquaculture facility. It's permitted under the Department of Environmental Quality through the MPDES permit relative to effluent standards. And then DNR actually permits any of the movement of fish into public waters. So that's the reason why all three agencies went. There was a small number of New Zealand mud snails found on the walls of a raceway in the facility. But a couple things that your listeners may want to be aware of. One is we did sacrifice, if you will, inspect a number of fish. There were no New Zealand mud snails found in the in those fish. The operator also uses well water in any transportation of fish. And there's some other mitigation measures, such as requiring that fish are moved relatively short period of time after feeding so that they're not foraging on any of the other areas within the raceway.
So you did find a small number of specimens presumed to be New Zealand mud snails. Again, as you say, they were collected from the walls of the hatchery's raceways. How worrisome is that? How big a deal is that?
Well, that in and of itself is not as worrisome as just New Zealand mud snails in general. As you know, it's been confirmed in a couple different rivers, the Pierre Marquette and the Boardman, and now the Ausable. We're doing some comprehensive surveying around the state to see what the establishment of those may be, and that is a concern in and of itself. So we actually appreciate the anglers of the Ausable having passion around the issue to help identify the issue and then help reduce any potential to spread that around the state.
Tom Baird told our listeners last week that the DNR and the DEQ failed to act when his group first requested an inspection of the Grayling fish hatchery. Let's listen to how he put that last week, and then you can respond. Here he is.
So we asked the DNR and the DEQ to immediately inspect the fish hatchery to see whether it was the source of the mud snails and also to determine whether while the infestation was localized, whether there could be some fix or cure to the problem. The DNR and the DEQ just refused to go into the hatchery. They said the owner wouldn't allow them in, and they declined to get a warrant to go in and take a look. Since then, the mud snail has spread both upstream and downstream and into the mainstream of the Ausable.
So Mr. Baird says his group discovered the snail downstream from the fish hatchery in early June and informed the DNR about the snail. Shortly thereafter, DNR finally inspected the hatchery the week of September 26th. Should it have been inspected sooner?
Yeah, so I would take issue with Mr. Baird's comment that it spread from the hatchery upstream and downstream. I'm not aware of any fact that he could base that statement on, just for clarity. And so we did immediately act, and the way we immediately act was is we spoke with and got confirmation from the hatchery owner that they would not move fish without mitigation measures in place. And so... So that's one. Two is there's certainly the conversation around how quickly do you get into the facility. So the three agencies met. They came up with protocols. They worked with the owner, and it really was not as much of a as Mr. Baird characterizes a refusal for entry, because over time one of the agencies certainly would have that regulatory authority. But we acted with the urgency of we assume the facility was infested, and we had those measures put in place.
Well, but still, should in 20 hindsight being 2020, should the hatchery have been inspected earlier?
Certainly the hatchery could have been inspected earlier, to your point. But the question is what safeguards are in place regardless of if it was inspected or not. The same mitigation measures are put into place. The fish were not being moved and generally stocked into public waters. It's primarily going for for food, and so that's the primary intent and purpose.
Mr. Baird suggests you could have gotten a warrant to inspect the fish farm earlier. Can you talk to us about that? I mean, could you have done that?
Well, I think the appropriate answer is under one of the three agencies probably could have went and sought a court order and sought a warrant to get access into that property. The DNR's authority primarily is in permitting for movement. The DEQs is primarily for affluence, and MDARD's, the Michigan Department of Agricultural Development, is primarily for raising of fish. So it's not quite as straightforward as what Mr. Baird paints, and that's why it is as quick to work with the operator to get practices in place to help mitigate those issues.
In a letter that you wrote to Tom Baird, dated 2 weeks ago today, you referred to, and I'll quote here, the absence of a confirmed positive sighting in rearing units at the hatchery, unquote. Mr. Baird said he was baffled by this because he said no inspection had taken place by that date. So the chronology here is kind of important. Had an inspection been taken place at the hatchery at that point?
No, it hadn't, and it said in the and that's where I would encourage the entire reading of that sentence. So you read the first clause, and the whole clause says, in the absence of a confirmed at that site, we put practices into place as if it was infested. It doesn't say that we did nothing, that in the absence of that confirmation. What it says, in the absence of a confirmation, we put practices in place. And so I think it's fair to read the whole sentence, not just the first clause.
We're talking with Mr. Keith Cray, director of Michigan's Department of Natural Resources, about the New Zealand mud snail and criticism of the agency we heard last week for doing too little here. Do more measures need to be taken to prevent the spread of this snail? Talk to us about the future here, the future effort.
Yeah, well, we all play a role in that, and all the citizens of Michigan will play a role in that. There certainly is the potential for transport through aquaculture. We recognize that, and we need to make sure that mitigation measures are in place. We need to make sure that primarily that goes for a food source, and we need to look at any individual permit to assure that we're not spreading New Zealand mud snail around. However, in addition to that, the public can help. There is a need to do a education and awareness campaign relative to the ability to move them on waders, on kayaks, on paddles, on normal recreation activities. And so it has been found in other water bodies. aquaculture is not in those water bodies. There is something else that is happening relative to vectoring, and so we all need to play our part in reducing that that risk.
You referred to the flow-through system at the grayling hatchery, and I know this is a bone of contention here in this topic here. There are flow-through systems and there are recirculating systems. Tom Baird and his allies would argue that flow-through systems are inherently more dangerous than recirculating because they connect to the stream. I mean, the stream flows into the hatchery, and then whatever happens at the hatchery flows out again back into the Ausable. Talk to us about your concern, or if you have concerns, about these flow-through systems and whether or not they ought to be curtailed or more closely monitored or whatever.
Yes, Mark, and you say, well, so the anglers of the Ausable, they are in litigation, and they are taking issue with the permit that's been issued to the grayling hatchery. The hatchery has been around for a long period of time, as many of your listeners know, and has been run by the county, by the state, and now by a private individual. So I put it in that context. I absolutely agree with you that the best aquaculture systems are those that are recirculating, or they'll call them closed systems, and that has less of a risk factor. There are a number of open systems in this state. It's not unique to this state. And so in those systems where it is diverting some water out of a stream, there does need to be appropriate regulatory oversight. They do need to meet effluent standards, and they need to make sure that they are not degrading the water resource.
Mr. Baird and others as well, I take it, are also critical of permission for the hatchery owner to expand that operation many times over. Now, given that a small number of specimens presumed to be New Zealand mud snails were discovered there, is the expansion of that hatchery a concern for DNR?
Well, the expansion of the hatchery is actually something that is being reviewed by all the agencies. And so if you, for instance, in the MPDS permit, it talks about in order to increase production, you have to meet the permit standards. And that's what's being argued and reviewed on the legal aspect of things. So I think that everyone shares the concern that any operation needs to have the management and regulatory standards in place so that there's not degradation of the resource.
So there is a possibility then that expansion permit may be revoked.
Well, it's not that it's revoked. It's in that permit, it says you cannot expand until there's satisfaction of the regulatory agencies that you're meeting your permit standards.
We want to thank Mr. Keith Cray, Director of Michigan's Department of Natural Resources. We've been discussing the New Zealand mud snail and criticism of DNR that we heard last week for doing too little to respond to it. Keith Cray, thank you.
Thank you, Mark.